Ezekiel chapter 4. You also, son of man, take a tile and lay it before yourself and portray on it the city Jerusalem. Lay siege against it and build forts against it and cast up a mound against it. Set camps also against it and plant battering rams against it all around. So this is another of Ezekiel's acted parables. Now, God by all means wanted to stop the Babylonians from taking Jerusalem. On one hand, Judah and Zedekiah had sinned so much that he was going to have to judge them. And Jeremiah was there in Jerusalem pleading with them to repent, but they put Jeremiah in prison. And Ezekiel had already been taken into captivity with the first bunch of captives that were taken. And he's there trying to, by all means, persuade the people who were with him in captivity that, look, Jerusalem is going to fall unless we, the captives, repent, and unless they repent there. So it's one thing to tell people something. It's another thing to try to make it visual. So God is really sensitive to them. He doesn't just say, ah, yeah, look, this is the situation I've told you. Now, come on, repent. He goes more than that and says, oh, okay, you're not listening to my word. Well, look, how about this? How about this acted parable? Let's make it visual. So God, when he did finally punish Jerusalem by the Babylonians, he really didn't want to do this because God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked and he really does want to save people. And just remember that when you get down about your own failings and wonder about your own salvation, God wants to save you. Take for yourself an iron pan and set it for a wall of iron between yourself and the city, and set your face toward it, and it shall be besieged, and you shall lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel. Moreover, lie on your left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel, that's the 10 tribes, on it, according to the number of the days that you shall lie on it. You shall bear their iniquity. So I think this is looking forward to how the Lord Jesus, who is the Son of Man, just as Ezekiel was called the Son of Man, carried the iniquity. That is, he carried the judgment for the iniquity or the sin of God's people. And yet, to bear iniquity meant to take the punishment. I have appointed the years of their iniquity to be to you a number of days, even 390 days. So you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. When you have accomplished these, you shall lie on your right side and shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. Each day for a year have I appointed it to you. Well, it's a bit difficult to work this out. I mean, were Judah to be punished for 40 days, 40 years, for days for a year? Or the 10 tribes to be punished for 390 years? Well, no, this isn't quite how it worked out, is it? Jeremiah had spoken about 70 years of judgment for Judah, not 40 years. So I just wondered if there were different possibilities in God's timetable. But they didn't work out because Judah didn't repent. But you can see that it was God's intention to, by all means, try to work different programs. So you see that God's not just saying, look, do this, and if you don't, this is going to happen. And if you do this, I'll give you these blessings. It's more subtle than that. He realizes that human response is sort of variable, that people may repent, but not very deeply. Some people, but not everybody out of a community may repent. And so he builds in all those possibilities. It's amazing that he should be so bothered with us, especially when in the end he foreknew that all of Judah and Israel were not really going to respond at all to his whole desire to save them. You shall set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem with your arm uncovered, and you shall prophesy against it. I lay shackles on you, and you shall not turn yourself from one side to the other, until you have accomplished the days of your siege. So they were going to be in exile, in shackles, as it were, for that period. That was the idea. Take for yourself wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt, and put them in a vessel, and make bread of it, according to the number of the days that you shall lie on your side, even 390 days you shall eat of it. Your food which you shall eat shall be by weight 20 shekels a day. You shall drink water by measure, the sixth part of a hin. You shall eat it as barley cakes, and you shall bake it in their sight with dung that comes out of man. Even thus shall the children of Israel eat their bread unclean among the nations where I will drive them. So the idea was that they would suffer in captivity with limited food and water. But, you know, that isn't quite what happened. As you see from the book of Esther, actually they assimilated with the surrounding nations. And by the time of Esther, in Persia, the Jews were wealthy, they were popular, etc. And were very assimilated into the paganism, really, of the world around them. So this didn't quite happen. They didn't stay for very long, mourning and weeping by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down and wept, etc. They actually got on with their lives and got pretty prosperous. But this was not God's initial intention. His idea was that it would be a short, relatively short and sharp learning curve for them to teach them repentance. But that didn't happen. Then he said to me that Ezekiel could use cow's dung for man's dung, because God told him to bake the food using man's dung as a fuel. And Ezekiel says, oh no, can I not do that? My soul has not been polluted from my youth. Don't forget, he's a priest. Up until now, I have not eaten of what dies of itself, nor what is torn of animals. And so God says, okay, then you don't have to use man's dung, you can use cow's dung. I think the idea is that God is open to change. He says, I want you to use this. And Ezekiel says, oh no, can I not do that? And God says, okay, you don't have to. God is very, very sensitive to us. He may have a plan A, but we want plan B, so all right, have plan B, etc. God is so open to that, and Ezekiel knows that, and that's why he prays to God to change things in this particular demand, and God does. I think the reason why God is like that is so that we pray to him, we talk to him, we have dialogue with him, we have relationship with him.